So, hey guys, this is Stephanie, and I am joined by Lauren from Nerds with Prey, and it's been a long time coming. If you haven't guessed already, this is about Catwoman. We tormented ourselves. Well, I feel like I laughed. My abs got a good workout because I laughed a lot at this movie because it's just ridiculous from beginning to end, and honestly, I don't know what to make of it. It just makes me think of all the people who are just like, y'all got Catwoman. I'm just like, but have you sat down and have you watched this with your eyes? Because you couldn't sober? Have. Yes, were you sober? Because what the fuck? But Lauren, how are you doing before we dive into whatever this movie was?
I'm well. The world is on fire, but you know what? I've maintained calm and got my writing on, and you know, aside from that, life is good.
Good.
I can't complain too much.
I'm happy to hear that. I mean, same here, you know, just chugging along, making it, and watching Catwoman.
Yeah.
Ooh, child. So before we begin, just some, I don't even know if they're fun facts, but just facts about this movie. One, it is not considered a DC film. DC doesn't even claim this movie.
Nope.
Catwoman herself isn't Selena Kyle. She's actually Patience Phillips. Holly's wig is Holly's wig in this. And
it made me think about one of the nicer wigs, though. That was actually a nice wig.
It was.
Really like the long curly hair. She was kind of fly in the beginning.
Honestly, she was. Like compared to, you know, Storm, she was actually, it was all right.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not really comparing much.
No.
And oh my god, oh sorry, sorry guys, I freaked out, thought I messed up recording. I thought my computer was like, bitch, you're not about to record this. So this movie also made me think of Benjamin Bratt. So this movie stars Halle Berry, Benjamin Bratt, Sharon Stone. I think those are the three big notable names.
Yeah.
And we have Alex Borstein from Mad TV fame and also Family Guy.
Lois.
Yeah, Family Guy. And I think that's it. And, you know, one puffy mouth white guy, but I don't know who. I think of his name.
Puffy mouth white guy. Look, which one was that? Because everybody sort of blended in after a while.
He was one of them. So, wow, so this movie opens up with a montage of hieroglyphs.
Yeah, some weird Egyptian-inspired cat tease montage with Britney Spears-type vocalizing.
This music was worst off-brand R&B pop music. So this movie was very, very, I don't even know the word to describe it. Just bootleg.
It was kitschy. It was very kitschy, very tropey.
I mean, the early 2000s. If you want to let anybody know what the early 2000s were like, just let them watch Catwoman.
You know what? That was something I said. It's a perfect 2004 time capsule. It really was. Down to the clothes, the music, the way it was cut. I mean, just... And plus, Benjamin Bratt. I mean,
right. No shade to Benjamin Bratt.
No shade. I mean, because I actually love him. I feel like he's been somewhat like criminally underutilized in many things. But it was just like, Ben, why? What happened? What happened? But no, you're right. It is a perfect representation of 2004 at that particular time.
I definitely bought a ticket for this movie. I was so hyped for this movie that I bought it maybe, I don't know, like a week or two in advance. Because mm-hmm. I was really excited to see Holly as Catwoman. I adored Eartha Kitt as Catwoman. So I was just like, you know what, this might actually work. And was I in high school? I think I was. 2004. Yeah, I was in high school, so I was definitely excited about this, head over heels and ready to see this movie, and dragged my cousin to see it and walked out and I'm still apologizing to this day.
I was in Kosovo on a military base when this came out, because we usually got our movies like 6 months, a couple of months after they came out in the U.S. And our movies were free. We just paid for our food. And even then, I dragged my next door neighbor and I got cussed out for taking her to go see this.
Rightfully so.
And I was like, you know, I'm sorry. But I mean, all you're out is popcorn money. We didn't have to pay to get in. So really no real big loss. We still talk about this We still talk about it to this day. Because there's very rarely do I actually like walk out of a film. Very, very rarely. But I was like, no, we gotta at least sit to the closing credits. And she just looked, I got the evil eye all the way back to the, to our little cabin. And oh my God, she was so mad.
I mean, you deserved it. You did. I know. We both deserved it. Yeah. So, who directed this movie?
His stage name is Pitof, but he was born John Christoph Comer.
That's where we messed up.
That's who I need to go talk to real quick. He's a French director. I'm sorry, John Christoph Comar. And before this, he had only directed one film. His area of expertise is more visual effects.
Oh, it shows in this.
Yes. The effects were on point. But before this, he only did one film in 2001. But he had done special effects since 1991, if not beforehand. He had done camera work. He was a writer. He did sound. He was a production manager. And then someone said, hey, how about you direct this little film?
And he said, yeah, you know what? Yes, send that my way.
I think I can do that. Yeah. Yep.
And who wrote this? Was it a gaggle of people?
Oh, boy. So... The group effort. There's a bit of a history, a story behind the production of this, because apparently the person who delivered the script, Daniel Waters, delivered the script on the day Batman Forever was released. Now, if you recall, Batman Forever, well, Batman Forever was the Val Kilmer version. Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey, and he had even joked that maybe turning it in the day Batman Forever opened may not have been my best logical move. And apparently Michelle Pfeiffer was interested in the film, but it took so long to get to production, she changed her mind and decided, you know, she wanted to focus on being a mom and other commitments to other projects. So then it was in development hell for years. And then they picked Ashley Judd. And then she eventually dropped out. And then
Whoa, Ashley Judd?
Yeah. Ashley Judd was set to star as far back as 2001. Okay. And she dropped out. And then they considered Nicole Kidman. And then ultimately, Halle Berry was chosen. So already, there's this mishmash of development hell going on before it even gets to Halle Berry.
Interesting.
Yes.
I mean, it shows.
Yeah, it does.
It really shows a lot. Like
somebody, we got to make this movie. We got money. We got crew. We got camera. Somebody needs to get in front of the camera and do something.
Also, I wonder how much, because this came out just after she won her Oscar, right?
Yes, it did.
So they definitely were like, well, we've got Holly. She just won this Oscar. So,
fun fact.
All right.
She accepted her Razzie with her Oscar in hand.
I mean, you have to. So I don't blame her. Like, you got to accept that with an Oscar in hand. Because, I mean, my God. Okay, so we got that. So I guess they changed the lore of Catwoman. I didn't even know there was a lore of Catwoman. Because from what I'm familiar with, there isn't. Other than... Selena Kyle used to be in sex work and other things, so there was never this mythical element to it that they added, and I don't understand why the hell they did, because we didn't need it, but they did.
Yep.
So there's a magical cat running around.
Midnight.
Oh, wait, this cat is name and night. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, So I don't remember if she tries to save the cat in the very first 10 minutes of the movie.
Roughly, yeah. The cat is like on her ledge, and then she's like, "Oh, hello, kitty." And then she goes to the ledge and the cat's not there, but she looks up and the cat's like on a windowsill, a good floor above her. And like she has no home training, she gets outside. She steps outside, steps onto her window ledge, and dun da da da, here comes Prince Benjamin Bratt to save her. Hey, lady, don't jump. I'm not trying to jump. There's a cat on my, oh God, the cat's gone. You know, it's kind of. It was after she got yelled at work. So it wasn't like, it was probably in the first 10 to 15 minutes where she sees midnight and she's chasing this cat around and he's got to come save her at the last minute.
Right, because they set her up as this very pathetic person. She's very I forgot meek. About that.
Yeah, because there was some voiceover after the mythical cat montage was over.
Oh, I definitely tuned that out.
And she was like, the day I lived was the day I died, or something like that. And it shows her at work, and it introduces her to her work bestie, Alex Borstein. And there was one, I don't even think we learned his name, but you had sassy work friend and sassy gay work friend. And you never saw sassy gay work friend again. I don't even think he had a name.
Nope.
I don't remember Alex Borstein's name. I just kept calling her Lois.
Ooh, I don't remember her name either.
See?
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't remember her name. But yeah, you were introduced to them. And then the meek woman goes home, sees the cat, sees Benjamin Bratt. I just drew a blank. Hold on. Let me consult my notes. Oh, yeah, and then there's this big jump in my notes. I think because I was just like, what the hell am I doing?
Oh, wait, okay, so he saves her or whatever, or quote-unquote saves her, and yeah. Then we go back to her being at work, and then that's when you have the gay coworker say, ooh, man sandwich at 12 o'clock, and I was like, wow, this is the line that y'all gave him.
Right, 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 right. He did come to her job. That's right. That's right.
Because his name is Tom Lone, by the way, which is so hilarious to me. Tom Lone comes and drops off her wallet to her because I guess it fell when she was stupidly out on the ledge trying to save
cat. How does she have her wallet on the ledge, though?
I don't even know.
I think he took it.
I honestly think
he took it.
I think so, too.
Because she was like, he said, what apartment do you live in? And she was like, 23. And so he's running upstairs to her apartment to grab her before she falls. So he was.
I think he takes it.
Freak. He took it so he could not sneak up on her, to visit her at work. He has no boundaries. That's a case.
Oh, no, he does not. Because after that happens, I guess her boss calls her in to give her her last, to berate her about this, I'm blanking, advertisement project she was working on. It wasn't the right color. Because we're introduced to Sharon Stone and her puffy mouth husband. Mr. and Mrs. Hadair. So it's like if she works for a company that's like a beauty cosmetic company or whatever, and Sharon Stone is being replaced by a younger woman. So there is her motivation that we get. I was like, oh, what convenient writing. Right. So Patience comes in and her puffy mouth white boss is like, I don't like this, you're fired. Sharon Stone was like, no, you know she's good. Let her try again or something like that. And he's like, yeah, you got till midnight. So I'm like, oh, deadline. So clear indication that something's probably going to go horribly wrong, which it does. Yeah.
Someone couldn't make the delivery. So of course she has to go do it herself. And of course she goes alone and it's dark and she bumps into something when she can't tiptoe around like a regular tiptoeer and knocks over a shit ton of glass, and they hear her, and because she's overheard something she's not supposed to hear, that the beauty cream Biolene, which
something which like I, that girl was
because I was like, how do you spell that? And it was basically Biolene, but they kept pronouncing it Biolene, whatever. Biolene actually fucks up your skin, and basically I think the words they used were turned you into a monster. And they had slides of people's skin falling apart and pussing over or whatever. And of course, at that moment, she doesn't just back away. She backs into a ton of glass in a lab, and they hear her, and the chase begins.
But before we even got to that, she tries to go through the front door. It's locked. She goes around to the back, and the one door that says restricted is open. So who went out for a smoke break and forgot to lock the door?
Henchman, I blame them. Number three.
So henchman number two is running after her and trying to, you know, gun her down. And she goes into the pipeline, and conveniently, because this cosmetic company is just so corrupt, they have a waste sewage line, and she gets flushed out, and that is how she dies. And somehow the cat Midnight is there, and who takes her out the
okay,
water?
Okay, I had that same question. I have that with four question marks afterwards. Did the cats drag her out of the water, or did she just wash onto shore somewhere? And then Midnight blows his or her kitty breath in her face, and she wakes up. She's revived by kitty breath.
And then we're just automatically introduced to, I guess, her quote unquote superpowers now that she's been magically brought back to life by a cat. And that involves being able to, I guess, heighten senses. So the seagull is like freaking 3D, like she's got 3D glasses on and just kind of zooms at her. There's a spider crawling and she paws at it like a cat. Basically, she's a cat. She's literally a cat woman, like a literal, cat woman, yes. Which makes absolutely no fucking sense.
Leaping from place to place. And I had that note too, when she somehow found her way back to her apartment, and rather than walking through the front door and going through the front door, she just leaps up four or five floors to the ledge and then breaks the window and goes in her apartment. Like, but your door still works, sis.
And I'm pretty sure you still probably have keys. Or you know what? She doesn't even look like the type to actually even lock her door. So So she just broke that window for nothing.
And then somehow it was fixed. Then she was sleeping on a elevated perch the next morning, and like nothing ever happened.
First, can we talk about this apartment real quick?
What city was this supposed to be in? New York, right? Or
No, it was supposed to be, because they're a little wink, wink. You had to mention something about Gotham or something like that, or like vaguely about Batman at one point. I forgot to write it down, but I guess it's it's not really mentioned, but it's like a vague. It's supposed to be like a little wink, wink to the audience.
My ass must have been sleep because I didn't catch it.
So I'm assuming from that little wink, wink that it's the next town over next to Gotham. So whatever between Metropolis and Gotham, maybe that's where she stays. I have no idea. But my assumption, like everything, is probably like a fake New York. So either way, how the fuck is she affording this apartment? How? It's spacious and it's very nice. She has a lot of furniture. She
like realistic.
Yes, and the fridge is see-through.
A studio, a very cramped studio, a very crappily decorated studio. But yeah, she had enough room to where she could sleep on a perch like a cat.
And also she was like very clean. So did she clean herself?
But she wasn't at work, which was weird, right? She was always very sort of messy and scatterbrained at work. But yet her apartment was... But cats clean themselves, so maybe that's like another cat trait. Cats are very clean.
So but that's what I'm saying, because she was like very dirty. She was like full of mud. when she got there that night. And then she wakes up and then she's like in new clothes and clean.
Who
so
did that?
I don't know. Because her hair, I mean, you know, she ain't white. So she blow dried and flat ironed her shit.
Did she pre-poo? Did she condition? Did she? What was her routine?
See, this is. Oh, I mean, just the plot holes. So I don't even know. She goes in, she quits her job, and it seems like their coworkers hate her because nobody like claps or anything like that. It almost feels as though like, oh, right. The bitch is finally gone. That really tickled me deeply because I'm just like, because usually people are like rooting and like, you go, girl, and none of that happened. I blanked out. I don't even know what happened after she quit her job. Did she meet with Benjamin Bratt? Like, what happens?
Okay, let me think.
Because my next note says, hisses at dog.
She was walking down the street with her coworker friend. And her coworker friend was like, what the hell is wrong with you? Because she was hissing with the dog.
Oh, that's right.
And then she was carrying her box of belongings down the street with her coworker friend. And she hissed at the dog. And then they stopped in front of a jewelry store. And she saw pretty shiny things in the jewelry store. And she was like, oh, no, honey. Remember, you don't have a job anymore. You can't afford that. And
then
passes out because her friend uses the Buline cream, which apparently is very toxic.
How convenient.
Who'd have thunk it?
So her friend passes out, and I guess she puts two and two together or whatever. And they're at the hospital, and because Alex Borstein has to be this very promiscuous and you know that friend that tropey friend that movies often have to the one character that is supposed to be the plain Jane. She's like, oh, I gotta go meet my sexy doctor. I'm like, girl, you just passed out on the street.
That's all they could do with her. He's gonna be the father of my children. I just met my future husband. I'm gonna bitch you dying from beauty cream. Simmer. And she never even broke out. Her skin never broke out or anything. And it was just like, we know the reason. But she never knew the reason. Because I think she even asked, Halle Berry's character, patients even asked, like, well, what's wrong with you? They run tests. She's like, they're giving me drugs. They seem to be working. They didn't even say, it could be the cream. Like, why don't you stop slathering that crap all over your face? They never put two and two together. We did, but
right. You know what? You're right about that. And I don't know why I assume that this movie would have enough sense to at least put that little tidbit in there. But you're right. They don't ever put two and two
just
together.
Like she just kept was like, I'm gonna marry this doctor. I'm gonna screw this doctor. I'm gonna marry this doctor. Da 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 da. Doctor, doctor, doctor. You might be dying.
But it doesn't matter because she's got to get that doctor. So, did she mention something to her about a birthday gift that she gave her? Or am I skipping ahead to when Holly goes to her closet to get out that the leather costume?
I think you.
I feel like I'm skipping.
I didn't really think for a second. I think you did.
I totally skipped ahead. Okay, so for my next note, I just have this basketball scene in front of these little kids.
Sassy basketball.
Oh, okay. So how do we even get to that point? I think he shows up at her door. You know what? I think I'm right. I think she takes that gift, that box out that Alex mentions or whatever, and it's got like the little leather get up in it. And then Benjamin Bratt shows up to take her out to go get coffee. Right. And then they're walking, they're talking, they're, you know, doing whatever. And then they stumble upon these children. And how did they even invite themselves into the game?
That's peak 2004. it's a nice segue for a musical montage. And that's basically all this was. It was a music video with Halle Berry and Benjamin Bratt playing basketball to the Victoria's Secret song. And I know that's not what it's called.
But I can't remember. But that's what it makes me think of, though.
Because if you look at how it was cut, like all these really short, quick cuts, because clearly they're using stunt doubles, it was more like a fancy dance than it was actual basketball playing. It wasn't like in Luke Cage when Simone Missick was actually playing basketball and you didn't have to keep cutting away. This was like,
right,
just bend over and bounce the ball once and we'll edit the shit in post.
Which is so that scene took me down. It took me down because these kids are cheering them on. They're in bra. I'm like, why are these children not in school? First off, because I'm pretty sure this is still the middle of the day. It's not summertime because they're wearing coats. So I'm assuming that it's maybe fall.
Where are your families?
So, right. Like, where are your guardians? And then, like, they're playing this really sexy game of basketball in front of these children. Like, he lifts his shirt up to show his abs.
She's like a little shimmy. It almost looks like she's twerking like on bouncing. The court.
She is. And then she shows off her handles, and it just took me down because I thought of Anne One. I was just like, wouldn't that be some shit if Catwoman was a part of the Anne One mixtape?
That was peak Anne One season. So
yeah, and they were like, you know what, that's the thing, let's include that, that would be pretty cool. And it wasn't at all.
Oh my god, yeah, that cracked me up. Yeah, it's a bunch of, I'm looking at it right now, it's like all these quick close-ups of their face, like, look flirty for the camera, look flirty, more flirty. Now kiss her. You know, like, I can't imagine how this was directed. These, like, there's no shot that lasts longer than a second. Like, oh, there, she's twerking now. Like, it's so tragic.
And it's dizzying as hell. Like, I felt like I got vertigo while watching it
because I guess he's trying to show you how she moves smoothly and quickly like a cat or whatever. But there were a lot of, like, high crane shots that spun around real fast, and yeah, kind of makes you a little dizzy watching this stuff.
Yeah, like, it's a bit much. It's a bit much.
You did effects. I got it. Stop it. Please stop. Just shoot the camera without moving it. Just shoot and let the action move in front of the camera. Don't move the camera. And that's what got me. And of course, it's a cheap trick, right? You try to cover up for something by moving the camera around and have somebody else move too, but good lord, it was a lot. It was, that basketball scene was a lot.
It was too much. And I thought it was too much, and then we have the scene of the jewelry heist gone wrong, but I think I might be fast-forwarding again. No, actually I'm not, because this happens, yeah, right after. So I guess she finally put that suit on that she got for her birthday, and she goes back to go get the jewelry that she sent earlier that day. Right. So what's the time frame?
So how much time has passed? The game, though, her neighbors are having another loud party. When it opens, she's all, can you turn it down? Can you turn it down? And they don't listen to her, of course. But this time, now that she's got super kitty powers, she goes over to her neighbors and she bangs on the door. And the guy opens the door and she pushes her way in and shorts the speakers out with a water hose. But of course, she's perched on the bar like a cat because she can't just stand there and do it. And then that's when I think she goes home, puts on the suit, but not before giving herself a haircut. And then goes and steals jewels.
Now, how does she manage to cut her hair on such a cute cut?
I mean, that won't nothing, but I want to see a manager haircut. It was long in the front and short in the back.
She's trying to be nice.
Like, what was that woman that had
it really the, honestly was.
John and Kate plus eight? It looked just like Kate's old hairstyle.
Oh my god. Yep. It did look like Kate's hairstyle.
Yeah, that's all I could think. I did it. Catwoman plus eight. That's what I wrote down.
Damn you, Lauren. So
it was, I mean, but you're right. She managed to give herself layers and spikes with just two pairs of scissors in like 5 minutes. So, you know, hey, go girl.
To cut maybe it's part of the cat power. I guess. Maybe.
There isn't
none. I'm trying to see
that's a word we need to abandon until we're done. Because there isn't any.
So she asserts her cat dominance and gets them to cut them. Well, she cuts the music off.
Yes. And then,
do we get to the heist? Yes.
So after that, she goes back to her house. She puts on the leather suit, cuts her hair, and then she takes the motorcycle that was in the alley, and then she speeds to the jewelry store.
And just conveniently, it was getting robbed by some folks. So then she walks in. She says something about...
I
should have wrote that line down, but all I know is you got it?
You boys are here. How perfect. And let me tell you, her rolling that R took me all the way out because it was so forced. It was not as smooth as Eartha Kitt. You could tell she was practicing that like right before and was like, okay, I got it. How perfect. Like, it was like it's had like a motorboat. Like a motorboat.
Real hard.
You trying too hard.
It hurt my tongue.
I was
listening
like,
to
really,
that.
What a perfect yes, child. Oh my god. Yeah, it took me out.
She really wanted to sell it.
Just tip of the tongue. Just tip of the tongue, Holly. Not your whole like that's how it came out.
She was like, no, you're about to get it all. So she engages and fights them, and we're treated to more vertigo and fast shots and her literally moving like a cat. I don't even think a cat moves like that. So just her defying gravity, basically. And she surfboards, and not in the way that Beyonce sings, but she literally surfboards on one of the robbers. And that took me down. It took me all the way down. Because what are we doing right now?
I mean, like, clear across the store. Clear across the store.
Clear across the store. So I just... So that happens. And I think Benjamin and the police show up next. And,
she left a note that said
note?
Sorry.
Says why? So she left a note. So they do the police work. You know, just envision CSI but worse. So they do all that, and I think he's like I forgot what they're called, but the guy's looking at the signatures or the handwriting, and they're comparing notes. Because where did he get the other note from? The other.
Something
piece of
her
paper.
Desk
I don't even
work
remember
or something from her house, because remember we've established that Tom Lone is a lurker who steals things to get women's attention and should be in jail.
But why the hell did Tom Lone have that anyway? You know what? I honestly thought I had forgotten something, but when I think about it, I'm like, but wait, why did he have that? Why did he take that from her to begin with? Was he looking? Did she leave him a note saying that she couldn't go out or something? And then he, in the look, like the signatures look familiar? I don't know. Anyway, the little guy looking at the signatures, he's like, yeah, so the way that this looks is this person is insecure and blah, blah, blah. But the way that this looks, this person is assertive and blah, blah, blah. But you get these two women in the same room, cat fight. And I said, my God, you have got to be shitting me. Are you kidding me right now? I just imagine the writer's room as they're writing this together as a group and just like really smirking, high-fiving because it's just quick, snappy dialogue and it's fun and they love it. And I just,
because I'm sitting here like, there's no way. There's no.
Oh my God.
It's so tropey. It hurt. It hurt more to listen to her. You know, they did the best they could, I guess, with the script that they had. But it was a terrible script.
It is so bad. It's so bad. Like, how is this a group effort?
It's not the worst thing I've seen.
How?
It's definitely not the worst thing I've seen. And
this is true.
I think, you know, sometimes when people just, you're hopping on this bandwagon, these Batman movies were hot. You know what this is to me? This is like the movie version, or I should say Inhumans to me is like this. When you got a hot genre and people want to capitalize on it, but it's a quick and rushed job. So it turns out like this. Watching this to me was like watching Inhumans.
Oh, that hurt.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a lot to take in, Lauren. I'm trying to let the people know.
You had a morbid before you drop a bomb like that. Have you watched? I mean, just a quick tangent, y'all. Sorry, but aside, I should say.
I watched the first episode
in Humans. It's a no.
Because I just wanted to see. Look, I know when I see someone's name attached to a certain project, there's going to be a certain level of nope. And I wanted to see the wig. For myself and how it came into play. Little did I know they'd shave Medusa bald first hour in, so after that it really wasn't much except Black Bolt and his mouth farts. He really did.
He looks like he has some mad indigestion. I tried to, and I just couldn't. It was just all a no. Okay, back to Catwoman. That was a bad segue. So after getting these signatures checked out, and I'm like, I don't even remember what happens next.
She goes to visit.
I don't know if we get more Sharon
she
Stone.
She finally tracks down Midnight.
I don't know if we get.
She grabs Midnight. And Midnight's got a collar on, and it's got an address. And she goes to this woman's house who's a professor of Egyptology or something. She awkwardly mentions her credentials. I just forget what they were, but it was just like she just, I'm a PhD in Egyptology, blah, 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 blah. And I know all about the magic cats. And it's like, okay. And then she asked her, like, why aren't you working now? And she's like, oh, you know how academia is. It's full of men. No, I think it's just because you study fucked up cats, but okay.
And I was like, well, you're right.
I don't think the men have anything to do with it, but I see where you're going, writers. I see where you're trying to go with this. But yeah, she goes and visits the woman who gives her background about how the cats have saved many women over the years, and there have been many cat women over the years, and that it's a gift that she's been given. And to prove her point, she pushes her off a ledge and pushes her off the second floor.
And I'm like, do you have insurance? Because what if, you know, like, what if Midnight got it wrong? What if Midnight is secretly white, thinks all Black people look the same, and told you this is the wrong woman, and you just pushed her off the ledge? Like, what are you doing?
So, yeah, she goes and meets the woman for her Catwoman lessons. And then after that, let's see. After that, I think she gives her something. Like, she gives her a mask. And because, see, her outfit is different after she leaves the cat lady. She cuts up the outfit more. And now she's got the whip and the the belt going across. It's now a bustier and the pointy ears and the wing liner.
So, you know, I'm going to chalk it up to the fact that she was already an artist, so maybe she's a seamstress as well. So I'm not even going to question as much as I want to how that turned out so great. The whole back is missing. The entire back. There is no back. I mean, her breasts are in breast slings, which is fine. I have absolutely nothing wrong with this costume.
This outfit, there's this shot of her walking, and literally the camera starts at her feet and rotates around slowly and goes slowly up her body. And it's like 2 minutes long of her walking along this ledge so we can see every inch of her cut leather.
It is 2 minutes.
You know what? Because Holly still looks great at however old she is. But this is a body shot. Nothing but the body shot. And we see every freaking inch of it because this shot is like 2 minutes long. He wanted to make sure the dudes knew
they were here.
It literally starts at her feet and rotates around. And now we've come to the buttocks, and now we're at the hips, and now we're going to go around the front. And, look, her whole ass back is out. She's got a crisscross at the waist, and here's her Victoria's Secret leather bra, and her boobs are bouncy, and her red Ruby Woo lipstick is on point. A mess.
When do we get to the club?
She jumps down the ledge and we're treated to more CGI vertigo. And she goes to the club with her whip out.
Why does she have the whip to begin with, though? Serious question. Because I spent a good portion of time trying to figure that out. Like, what? Catwoman's never had a whip,
well,
right?
Michelle Pfeiffer's did.
Oh, right. She sure did. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Still.
I don't know why Patience Phillips had a whip, but I know Selena Kyle in Batman Returns had a whip. So.
So they were just like, okay. All right. Michelle Pfeiffer's whip made sense. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I see how that came about. But this, no. But okay. Where did she get it from anyway? Did that come with, I mean, you know what? Maybe that came with the outfit.
Maybe she made it from the outfit. From all the extra material she had if she cut the jacket. All
right. Nope. So she's at the club. And she asks the bartender for a Russian mudslide. But told him Russian. What was it?
A black Russian.
Is it a Russian mudslide or am I making up a drink?
I think it was a black Russian, but she was like, hold the vodka, hold something else, and hold something else. So it was just like a cup of cream.
She literally told him to leave it cream. So, ma'am, why would you not just order milk? And if I was that bartender, I would have been like, I'm not making that. I'm not doing just... For the simple fact that you just didn't say, give me a glass of milk, I'm not doing it. And then she didn't even tip him.
But he said it with a smile.
I'm sure he did. He probably had a really long night and, you know, he's thinking, well, you know, somebody else tipped me. I could pay these student loans off and, you know, make my way to Gotham one day. But no, that night, Patience Phillips wasted his time asking him to... make her a Russian whatever just with cream. Who orders anything like that?
Patience.
Was that the cat spirit? The cat spirit?
The cat spirit just wanted milk, a bowl of milk.
They were really wilding with her being a literal cat. I just can't. All right. So, just wow.
So now she confronts, was it her boss? One of the bosses.
Yes.
Of Beulie. And scratches him with diamond claws. And then, what the hell happened? Wait a minute.
I don't even know. Like, my next note says Sharon face of stone. And I have no idea what that was in reference
because someone, her husband slapped her and it didn't effect on her. And she was like, yeah, remember, if you use this stuff enough, if you stop using it, it'll kill you. But if you use it enough, it turns your face to stone. And the only thing missing was her looking at the camera and winking. Like, that really just would have made my day.
God, I wish she would have done that. I think that's probably why I wrote that like I did.
Yeah, because Sharon Stone's face turns to stone.
Wink.
That's the only thing that was missing. I think I would have literally fallen out of my chair if that had happened. But I really wanted it to happen.
Unfreaking believable. So, yeah, her face turned to stone. So she ends up killing him.
And framing Patience for it.
Right. But before we get to that, wow, my next note is this R&B music is trash. But I feel like at some point, her and Tom Long go on a date. And that's wherein he gets more suspicious of her being a Catwoman.
Yes. Yes. But I don't remember what it was that set him off.
I don't even remember. I don't.
Oh.
And if you can hear, Ty Dilla is doing the absolute most. So I don't even know if I'm going to be able to edit this out, guys. I'm probably not. So that's Ty Dilla in the background, not wanting to go to sleep.
They went to a carnival. And the Ferris wheel conveniently breaks or something. Yeah, they go to a carnival. The Ferris wheel conveniently breaks, and he tells her to stay here, and I'm going to go fix this, save us, whatever. And her cat powers zoom in on this one kid, whose bar is about to fall apart, and he's about to fall out of the Ferris wheel. And so she jumps out of the seat to save the boy, and he's giving her the side eye afterwards.
But wait, how the hell did he get down?
He jumped out of the seat and crawled down.
Did he climb down? He climbed down,
yeah.
Okay.
And he was trying to save
the day. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
But he was moving too slow.
And then she cat powers her way to the child. Yep. You're right. And then he's like, that's interesting. But that doesn't stop him from sleeping with her.
I want her to pounce on me like she did that crown. Look, for resource purposes, I got you, Tom. I know what you're doing, Tom.
So Tom Lone and Patience Phillips have their little moment. And then, of course, he gets up and he's checking his back because she's a cat. And, I guess she scratched his back up. So, wow, they couldn't be more on the nose, could they? So that happens. He finds a piece of the diamond fingernail, which you gotta clean up better than that. Like, come on now. So he finds that clues him in on her possibly being the burglar from that night, and he takes a glass. Cause I forgot, he has a run in with Catwoman. Oh, we totally forgot.
At the club, right?
So, right. Tom Lowe has a run in with Catwoman. They have a little tete-a-tete. She kisses him, and they have this little, I don't know what to call it. And while later that day, he takes Patience out because Alex Borstein is healed by now, and she's like trying to help her get ready for this date. He takes her out for sushi, and because she's a Catwoman, like a literal Catwoman, she's eating sushi like she's never ate food before. She's like inhaling it. And he tells her that he ran into Catwoman and that she kissed him. And then Patience is being like really, really terrible about just playing it off as though she is neither here nor there for the conversation. She's like, well, do you like your women bad? And he's like, well, only if they like me back. And it's really corny dialogue. Then they go to the carnival. That happens. They sleep together. He takes a glass that has her, her lip print on it. And then he goes back to the super lab that the police department clearly has, because they have technology where they can match the lip print on his face to the one on the glass, by just overlapping them by way of a digital imprint. I don't even know. And it said 99% match.
Yay, technology.
So he's looking really just salty and distraught, because the woman that he loves is Catwoman. And only he knows. Oh, man. So I think at some point, Catwoman goes and visits Sharon Stone.
Yeah, because Sharon Stone's character gave her a phone and was like, I'll help you catch the bad guys.
Right, and then she slips in the front of her, in front of her outfit. And I'm like, girl, what are you?
So that phone,
that clearly
was sitting somewhere.
Was. Oh my! And I guess he's at some event, and she spies him there or something. I don't even remember if anything of any importance happened. I don't think it is, because I just kind of blinked out. Or maybe it did, and I just still blinked out.
It was right after she slept with Tom, and Tom was gathering the glass, and then Sharon Stone's character called. So Tom leaves, and then she gets all gussied up in Catwoman gear and goes to Sharon Stone's house. And then, okay, what happens? Yes, so there's some dialogue, some more terrible dialogue between patients and Stone, and then she walks behind the desk to see that her husband is dead, and she pushes a button and starts to fake cry, and then security guards are in there in like seconds. So now Patience is framed
like
for
how
murder. A mess,
and the police get there real quick, so
that's how you know she was working.
That's how rich and how white this woman
thank
was.
You That part hasn't changed since 2004.
No, that's still very much on the nose. So it's relevant. So she somehow sneaks away.
Cat powers.
Yeah, and she puts on a tracksuit that happens to fit her. She sneaks away. Okay, how does she end up getting caught?
Where did she have the tracksuit?
Tom Long.
Where was the tracksuit? Where did she get the purse from, and why did she look like a bootleg version of Beatrix Kiddo from Kill Bill?
Oh my God, she definitely did. Kill Bill must have just came out the year before, wasn't it? 2003.
I think so.
I think that's probably what that.
Wink and nod to Kill Bill, but it's like, oh no, boo, that's not a wink and nod. You sleeping? No.
Right.
No, ma'am. Nope.
So, yeah. So, I forgot. No, so this is how she gets called, because Tom Lone broke into her apartment and is waiting on her, and he already called the cops, so he arrests her. Of course, they go through the whole thing of, you know, I'm innocent, I didn't kill him, and, you know, he's like, you know, all evidence points to you, puts her in a jail cell, and then I guess he's, you know, unsure about what he did. So he's kind of questioning whether or not she really is innocent. And I think midnight comes, and then she somehow escapes out of her jail cell by like sneaking through the actual bars, which what?
Yeah, that was, I think I blinked, and the next thing I knew she was walking in the hallway, and it was like, but wait. Wait a minute.
Oh, no. I sat and I watched to see, like, how was that supposed to work? So she literally, like, shimmies through, and I'm like, you know, Holly,
she got breasts. I don't know how she did that.
Right. And a butt. So I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, yeah. Very, look at her squeezing them breasts right through the bars. Good Lord. I mean, that's like the worst jail ever. Seriously. Even Midnight's like, holy shit, she did it.
Right. I mean, I guess y'all. So that happens. She somehow makes, she jumps out of the window yet again, lands on her feet. A car almost hits her. It stops. The guy, because men are trash, is probably a little turned on. Looks like he's getting ready to hit on her. But instead, she knocks him out of the way and steals his vehicle.
The car hits her in the butt.
Oh, right. It lightly taps her in the butt.
And it's a Jaguar. Just...
because cats.
And she stops and she like caresses the Jaguar emblem on top.
Because cats.
It's so goddamn on your nose with the machete. It's ridiculous. Like, just, oh my God.
And I guess I could put my nose down because I didn't write any more notes because it just thing just goes more off the rails. So she goes to confront Sharonstone.
Yes.
And they have a fight.
Yeah, at the they're releasing the Buleen, and they're passing it out like party favors. Right. And then she's like, surprise, bitches. And then there's a fight.
There is a fight. And Sharon Stone is kind of, you know, whooping her ass at first. And I said, oh, wow, this is very, okay, y'all. So they have this back and forth. There's supposed to be a witty retort back and forth. There is not. Catwoman almost gets knocked out the window, which I'm like, you've been a cat up until this whole entire time. You mean to tell me this woman with a face of stone is going to beat you? So Sharon Stone says the line of, looks like it's game over. And then she says, no, we're going into overtime. And I wanted to throw my laptop. Because I said, wait, what are we doing right
Tom,
now?
Tom went there first to talk to Sharon Stone.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
And then Sharon's gonna shoot Tom, and then Patience jumps in because, you know, she threatened her man. So then she
can't handle it
all with Sharon Stone. And then he's like, well, you saved my life, so I guess I can't be too mad, even though you're Catwoman, the woman I've been chasing. I'm trying to read lips here, but that's basically the gist of it. Her lipstick's still really good.
How is that not smudge? Is that Buleen lipstick?
Must be.
Lipstick? No, right?
Or some NYX lip suede, because that shit don't go nowhere.
Oh, God. So, after the overtime line, she, like, pops into the air. I don't even know. And she begins running all over the place, whipping Sharon Stone's character and just all kinds of crazy stuff. So she finally kicks her, and Sharon Stone, her character almost, well, she does fall out of the window that Catwoman Patience almost fell out of, but she holds on to the rail. She looks at herself in the mirror because I forgot to mention that Catwoman, you know, started throwing haymakers and like messing her face up. So when Sharon Stone sees her character sees herself in the glass or whatever, her reflection, she's like, life's not worth living. And of course, Patience tries to save her, but she decides to fall to her death. And we're treated to a dummy falling.
It failed rather dummily, didn't it? Like, it was just like, dude, you didn't even try. You didn't even try. You put the blonde wig on, you put the pantsuit on, and you just threw it out of the window. It was like, we gotta wrap this shit up, man. We gotta go.
I died laughing. I mean, because it just, I couldn't believe how, I forgot what I was watching. That's how fake it looked. So then it falls, and then at one point, I guess the dummy catches wind. I'm just like, is this thing about to fly away like a flying squirrel? But no, it continues to tumble, and then she falls through the glass, and then she finally hits the ground. But I was just like, that is What did I just watch?
She sure did. She... Yeah, the dummy. I was done at the dummy. I think at that point I had guffawed way too many times. And I just was like, okay, how much longer do I have with this? Because, whew, good Lord. The things you forget.
Because, I mean, because how ridiculous is that? So, oh my God. So yeah, she falls to her death. And then that's that. And, I guess I don't even know what Benjamin Bratt and Halle Berry say to each other afterwards. I'm pretty sure it's the same kind of cliched ending where the cop has to let the criminal go. Was there anything of significance that was said?
No.
Yeah. I didn't expect it to be. So.
Dummy, I'm sorry.
Are you watching it again?
I just went right to the dummy. Because.
Y'all, we're not exaggerating. Like, it's a literal dummy. Like, they didn't bother to do anything. Like, they threw this thing out the window. You
know, normally, I would think they would shoot from a shorter building, green screen it. So at least have, like, a stunt person jump and extend the building in post with the green screen. But no, they literally took a goddamn dummy and just threw it off the building. It was like, at least make sure it's got blonde hair.
Because at one point, it catches wind, like, it's getting ready to fly off like a flying squirrel. And that really threw me because I was just like, wait, did the cream give her flying powers? Like, what's about to happen?
Oh, my God. Oh, my cheeks hurt from laughing. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm telling you right now, anybody who stands for this movie is a damn liar. I'm convinced.
I mean... You have to be, and I'm sorry, but just yikes. All the way around. Like, I don't even know. You know what? Still was pretty bad. Still is a bad movie. I've watched that recently. That was pretty bad.
It was. And I've seen some bad things. And I can probably find some redeeming qualities in some of them. But this is not one of those things.
No, I mean, I couldn't find anything. I mean, honestly, the watchability is basically you just needing a good laugh at the sheer absurdity that this movie is. Because it's peak. It's such a time capsule. It's so peak 2004. It's at that point where just before superhero movies started to kind of, or like that comic book movie, you know, I guess genre really started to kind of like take over, or it was starting to rev up, because I think we get Iron Man in what, 2006?
I think so.
Or 2007. So it's right at the cusp of that getting ready to happen. X-Men has already came. Oh, you know what? I forgot. So Holly was already Storm before this came out. And somebody still said, oh, she'll make a great Catwoman.
And we had Daredevil the year before, Ben Affleck's version of Daredevil.
Oh. And didn't Elektra come out the same year as Catwoman as well?
It was, let's see, 2005.
So one year later. Yeah. Mm. Thinking about both of those movies in comparison to Wonder Woman, even with that horrible third act, Wonder Woman is far, far, far,
that
far, far,
third
far
act ahead. Was like the Anne Peggy of the Skylar sisters. It really was like, it just came out of nowhere. Like, who
came out of freaking nowhere? I said, what are we doing right now? And then that jump at the end.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a little weird. But, this, I think, Catwoman, the Inhumans is the equivalent of Catwoman today. Like, I don't have to watch this movie again. Even if it's like on a Sunday and there's nothing on and I need background noise, no, I can find better background noise.
No, I would actually rather have Suicide Squad on as background noise, because I've had it on before because of all the random ass music. So it's like listening to Spotify. because none of that music fit in that movie at all.
Nope. No. And that's one, you know, I think that's another one and done for me. Suicide Squad.
I'm trying to think.
Because there are some movies that I can just watch.
I have not tried to go back and watch. I haven't gone back. I've only watched Batman vs. Superman once. And that was the director's cut. Which made it an actual movie with a beginning, middle, and end.
So that made it, what, 3 hours long?
Girl. It sure did. And in 3 hours, I can't get back. So we didn't even say how this. Oh, so y'all, the way this movie ends, I think there's another voiceover, and like she walks off.
She reiterates
with some cast fall on her
the day she died with the day she learned to live. And then there's credits. Like at that point, yeah. It's just like, please stop, please.
So, that was Catwoman.
That's y'all little movie or whatever. The one y'all was standing for.
I mean,
really, if you could not have watched the same movie we watched. There's just no way.
No, but you know what? I get why some people do, like, it has a special place in their heart just because it's so corny, because it's so tropey, and it's just so many things. That part I get, but the actual standing for it, or not even standing for it, but just using it as a legitimate argument of, here's your representation, here you go, you've had something, that blows me, because I'm just like, this is garbage. This is terrible. And this is not a hill that I would like to die on. At all. I don't even want to come close to the hill.
I don't
even
want
to
be in the same state as the hill. Get me the hell away from the hill.
No, I don't.
Right.
Get this hill away from me.
Goodness. Yeah, it's interesting. Man. But you know what? In all honesty, and I mean, I'm being very sincere when I say this, the script should be used in classes of all the things that you should not do. Like, if you're going to do a lessons learned about how not to make a film, totally use this film. Totally use that script. Because it is everything that probably should not be done in a film.
Oh, down I totally to the agree music, with
that. Down to the editing. Down to the constant use of crane shots that make you dizzy, giving the viewer vertigo. It's a chock full of don'ts and dialogue. How not to be so on the nose with your jokes. I mean, seriously, if they had just kept breaking the fourth wall, looking at the camera, winking, it really just would have been more fitting.
No, it honestly would have been. I mean, I think there was a movie that had potential here.
Different script, different director, probably could have been a totally different movie.
Because honestly, I think Holly could have really pulled off a Catwoman with a better script.
I think a better script and, you know, hell, even a woman directing.
Yeah,
this could have been way different, and
better, yep. and way better. That is 2003, no 2004's Catwoman. So guys, I thank you for joining me joining us and this is a Patreon exclusive as of right now, so I'm real sorry for y'all, but this was done, and Lauren, I just want to say thank you so much, because I didn't want to do this by myself.
You're quite welcome, honey.
Lord. So Can you let us know what you guys have going on at Nerds of Prey, what you have going on everywhere else? Because I'm pretty sure you have a ton of things going on.
We are in our season 2.5 of Nerds of Prey. You know, we got some interesting shows coming up, looking to do one focusing on women's health very soon. Because, you know, tough times, people going through things, and we just want to make sure everybody can take care of themselves in the future. We are kicking off another series of quick calls about Halloween. We are probably going to tackle the Fast and Furious series at some point. And Star Trek DS9, and just plus your regular old foolery shenanigans that we do. And yeah, you know, every other Wednesday you'll have a new episode, and you can check us out on at Nerds of Preycast on Twitter.
Yay. All right, guys, make sure you do that. I'll have the information in the description. Again, I'm sorry, not sorry, you know? It had to be done eventually. I feel like just kind of exercise the demon by watching this movie again and talking about just how ridiculous it is. So until next time, patrons, I'll catch you another time. Bye.